good to be with you again. We love you, and we're glad to be with you. I'm excited to be able to talk, give my final report as your missionary tonight. It's been an incredible privilege to be your missionary, and I don't want to go on about that too much, but I'm grateful for that. It's a transition because I'm not in the club anymore. I'm not in the Missionary Church Planter Club. Kelly's still willing to hang out with me, even though I'm not cool anymore. But, you know, it's a new transition, a new phase for life for us, and we're excited to see what God has for us next. But we've been working for the past year, and I want to tell you about that and what God has done over the last 6-7 years here. And before I get into that, I want to point out to you what God has done in Victory since you first brought us on as missionary. And this is not, it doesn't have anything to do with us, but that first step of faith that you took back 7 years ago, Victory has changed a lot since then, and God has blessed tremendously. I think a lot of that is because of that step of faith. At the time, you had 1 or 2.5 staff members, and now there's, I don't even know how many, 3 and a couple of halves, something like that. There was somewhere around 250 in services on Sunday morning, and you're getting, I've heard 400 number thrown around. You've paid off a building, and God's blessed tremendously financially. And God has really blessed this church since you decided that you were going to step out in faith with us in that. And I'm grateful for how He's come alongside you and done that, as He sent you alongside with us. But in us, there's been some massive changes, and you know, this year has been really hard. I say that, but I don't think we have had a year in Columbia that wasn't hard. There were some years that were less hard, but there hasn't been a year that wasn't hard. And this one was hard. And it's not because we didn't have good things happen. It was because it's been a year of closed doors. In the first 3 months of years, and you know, if you paid attention over the last couple of years, you know that we've been trying to get out of the space that we're in for a while. And honestly, just there's nothing that pops up. In fact, I would say that, and I felt like there's going to come a point where they stop believing that I'm actually looking for anything, because of course something would come up and it just wouldn't. And we had three spaces that would be fantastic for us open up in the spring. I got in there and put in offers really before I had permission to, and sometimes just to try to get in there and get it done, because you have to move fast. And the first one we went in, and it was 2 units that would have been pretty good for us, good price, and we put an offer in on it, and they declined our offer and accepted someone else who just wanted to rent one of the units. I thought, well, that's frustrating. So there was another space that we're going to look at. It was honestly a little small and wasn't going to be perfect for us long term, but it would have been fine. It would have been better than what we have. And got in there, they were willing to work with us. We had to do some work on the place, but it was going to be fine. And then I talked to the city to make sure everything was okay and everything was fine. And then we get to the day before signing, and I get a call from the planning office. And they go through all the stuff and said, we're not going to approve your building permit. You can go ahead and sign the lease, but we're not going to approve your building permit until you've done this, 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 and this, which was all going to cost about $15,000. And I said, so then you'll approve our building permit. And they said, well, then we'll look into it. And as everybody else got off the phone, there was one planner left, the one that I dealt with before, and I said, so is this going to happen or not? And she said, don't spend any money on it. And the city shut us down on that one. She just said, they're not going to approve it no matter what you do. They don't want you in there. That's why there's these red flags. And finally, there was a place that, honestly, it's the place that my dreams were made of. Price and space, and I have visions for ministry and what we could do there. And we went in and made a full priced offer, and didn't hear anything. Checked in again, nothing. Checked in with their realtor, ran into their realtor at the gas station, and he finally said, they're not gonna give you an answer. They're not gonna deny you, because they don't want to deny you, but they're not going to rent to you because they don't want to rent to a church. And we had gone a couple of years without having any serious prospects of a new building, and all God opened up 3 perfect options for us. Price-wise, it wouldn't have changed anything really for us financially. It would have opened up all new things. And He opened those doors and then slammed them shut. And if it's too much money, I get that. If it's not going to work out and I get better offers, I get that. But this is just doesn't make any sense. So I was pretty angry with God in the spring. And I decided, well, we're just going to focus. God just wants to overcome this building that we're in and this location. He can do anything. So we're going to pour our hearts out doing outreach and ministry and see what we can do there. So we had Kids Skills, and that went really well. We had 63 kids coming to Kids Skills. Most of those, like more than 55 of those, we'd never interacted with before. Had, I think it was 14 families that came through with that event. Got to share the gospel a bunch of times, had great stuff happen. I was talking to parents at the last day and had several of them that said, we're actually looking for a church. We've been checking out churches. We'd really like to come by from you. And I sent out emails and follow-ups. We got zero first-time guests off of that. We did a bunch of online advertising. We did a bunch of other outreach through different channels. Had great responses, but nothing came from it. And I said, you're killing me, God. You're killing me because I don't know what to do here. So I said, all right, we're going to focus on the people we have. We're just going to disciple them and grow them. And the couple that I baptized last Sunday actually came to me and said, we are moving to Virginia in December. And then my guy that I rely on, other than Joey, the family that we count on to be there, the family that we host stuff at their house all the time, that we know they're going to be there if nobody else is, he gets a promotion at work. He goes from being a detective to a sergeant. It's a fantastic thing for him. But it means that he's going to be working nights and every other Sunday. So they're going to go from every time we're together, they're there, to every other week, and maybe some more if things work out. And we had several things like that happen, and we just kind of sat down and looked at it and realized, if things keep going, we're not going to have anybody mad and leaving, but if things keep going this direction, not counting our families to the people that moved up, we're going to be down to about 5 or 6 people in December. And by this point, I was just I don't know what to do. So we began to pray, and really I began to pray because I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't even talk about it to Britt. But we began to pray, like, if you're done, you got to show us. Because you won't let us get into a building that we can do ministry in, and you won't let us grow with the new people that we've been able to have fantastic outreach with, and you're taking all my people away. I don't know what you want. If this is what you want, I'll stay here and sit through it. But I don't know what you're doing. And we began to pray that God would show us what to do. And it was about that time that a friend said, hey, there's a church in Bentonville. It's about 10 years old. The guy that started the church is leaving, and they need somebody else to step in and take over, and you would be a perfect fit. And honestly, it's one of my best friends in the world. We went down to hang out with him. Okay, that's why we went to spend several hours hanging out with him. I left an hour early. It was basically, he told me that. I grabbed the kids and our stuff, and we left. Because I didn't want to talk about it. And then another guy called me and said, hey, there's a church in Bentonville. I don't know if you've heard about it, but you need to consider this. Guy that knows me knows the church. And I said, no. I didn't hang up on him, but I came real close. Just, I don't want to talk about this. And it was at that point that we were praying, God, what do you want us to do? And we went on our vacation, and honestly, we hadn't even talked about Bentonville yet. We just had talked about, we didn't know what God was doing. Is he closing the door? And when we came back from vacation, like that was, we'd spent that time praying, are we done? And we felt like we got the answer, yes, God is done at the end of that. And I said, okay, if you want me to go to Bentonville, you have to send somebody else that knows me and knows the church to say this is something to consider. What you have to understand is in the seven years that we've been doing this, no one has offered me a job. No one's come to me and said, check out this church. But I've had three on this one, or two so far. And a guy called me up and said, you need to consider this. And so we did. And we went and met with them, and I still said no. In fact, we were going up there to meet with them, and I said, I told Brent, I said, I'm not wearing a suit. And I'm not going to give fun, happy answers. I'm just going to give harsh answers to every question they ask to meet with their bull commit committee so that they won't want me. And I got up there and I felt like I was fairly unfriendly, and I gave good answers, but they weren't super friendly answers. And And they called back and said, we've interviewed three people. We voted unanimously. You're the one that we want to hear from. So we went. And even while I was there, I told Britt, it's like normally when you go speak at another church, you wear a suit. Doesn't matter what's going on, but you wear a suit and you preach out the King James. And I told Britt, I said, I'm not wearing a suit. I think I wore this. So I'm not wearing a suit and I'm not preaching out the King James. And if they don't like that, they won't call me. And they voted unanimously that night to call me. And so after months of fighting it, I said, okay, this is what you want. This is what we'll do. And the problem was that I wanted to go to Bentonville. I wanted to go home to Northwest Arkansas. I wanted to go be closer to family and friends. But I didn't want to go to a place that I just wanted to go to. I wanted to be clear that God has it for us. And we are 100% confident that that's what God wanted us to do. And it's not what I set out to do when we went to Columbia, is to go and struggle in ministry and to, when we leave, to not have a church there. They voted this morning to disband. The five or six of them that were left voted. They decided it would be better for them to go participate in something else than to kind of struggle on their own. And it's not what I set out to do 7 years ago, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, however long it goes that we started this process. But I'm confident that's what God had in mind from the beginning, because this, all the good things that God has done in all that time, what we have never been able to do is reach anybody from Columbia. We've had lots of people come through the doors, but they're all transplants from other places. We've not had a single person come from Columbia. And if you spend any time in Columbia, Lynn Rayburn, y'all know Lynn Rayburn, been all over the world, spent a lot of time in Russia, lived in Kenya. He came up and stayed with us in Columbia. He said, I've never been in a place like this where they will go out of their way to cut you off on the street to keep you from getting where you need to be. And it's validation for me because I thought I was crazy. But in that time, we've never reached anybody from Columbia. And what I've come to the conclusion of is that what God wanted from us was to share the gospel, to see people saved and baptized, to disciple them and teach them, and to send them out into other places where they can affect people in a way that we as an outside church could not do. And I'm confident that that's what God had for us. And tonight, what I want to share with you is... At the end of the day, you look and you say, well, there's not a church there that we started, so it was a failure. But what I want to show you is what God has done. Kelly, when I called and talked to Kelly to tell him what was going on, one of the things he said was, there is no place in the Bible where God ever told us to go start churches. What he told us to do is to go and share the gospel and make disciples, and the churches are up to him. And what we have done is obeyed that. And what God has chosen to do is to affect the lives of a lot of people. And I just want to show you some pictures and talk to the pictures. And Clay keeps bringing that up because I keep forgetting that I have the remote. So I appreciate you getting me started there, Clay. I want to talk to you about this lady right here. This lady is named Eileen, and these are her two sons. When Joey met Eileen at Shelter Insurance, the first thing that she asked of us was that we would come over and pray over her son's apartment, because his life was going really bad and she thought there must be something spiritually wrong in his apartment. That's where we started with her. And she never really spent any time in church. She'd never not been in another person's home other than her own and a couple of family members in the previous 10 years. But she was with us and was reading her Bible daily by the end of our time with her. She was saved. She was the first person that we baptized. Her sons both went through a stint in jail while we were with her, and we helped her through that. And Eileen is a different person because God and Victory sent us to Columbia. This girl on the left right here, her name is Laura. She's really cool. Don't want to go into it too much. She's actually decided she wanted to be a welder. So she's a welder now. That's what she's doing. But Laura was our babysitter from down the street. Her and her three sisters and her mom, their dad had gotten pretty bad into meth, was selling meth out of their house, went to jail, and it was just them. And her and her sister started babysitting for us, and we started bringing Laura. We ended up hiring Laura to be in our church services as working in the nursery and doing things constantly, partially because we needed help, but also because we wanted to share the gospel with her. Laura never made a decision. But because we were there, she's heard the gospel. She's interacted positively with the church. And God is going to do things in her lives. The lady on the right is B. She's the one that I told that she had 10 years left to live. This B, she's a single lady, never been married. She had come out of a really rough church experience and came in with us, and in that time found out she needed a kidney transplant. And we walked through that journey with her of finding out she needed a kidney transplant, praying over that for a couple of years, her getting the transplant and going through a lot of complications and coming out of that on the other side. But she's gone from being someone who was done with church because she had a really bad experience to someone who had a group of people to walk with her in prayer and in faith until she got that transplant and moved on. These people right here will not be in pictures. So I had to actually, they're a married couple. But you could, I could have pulled up a wedding picture from 12 years ago. But this is Patrick and Elizabeth and Logan. Patrick and Elizabeth and Logan came out of a house church situation along when they were kids. They worked at, they were in house churches and different things. And then they had come to Columbia and they tried to get involved in a church, but she was in a helicopter accident and they had some severe problems. They got into a church that was very abusive towards them and they just quit. And then they showed up with us one day. And they went from being people who were not in church, who were completely out, whose son was not participating in anything that was going on, to Logan was saved. I made a profession of faith just a couple of months ago. Patrick's leading devotionals. He actually led services today while we were out. And Elizabeth is serving right alongside him. They bought a house specifically to be able to give, to allow the church to use, to be able to house people, to have enough room for people to serve with. And that happened not because it just happened, but because we were there to be used by God. This lady on the left right here, I don't know if I'm being videoed or not. She has been a trial. Okay? This is Cheryl. She's a great lady, but she manages to insult me every time she sees me. And I guess she thinks she's being funny, but she just gets right to me every time. When she first showed up with us, she was a variety of things. She was into New Age stuff. She was a little bit of a Christian. She'd come out of a liberal Jehovah's Witness group. And she doesn't drive. So Joey and Lauren started driving her to Bible studies every Wednesday. And we've been with her and slogged through the muck with her for 3 years. But in that 3 years, she's gone from being a pretty difficult person to deal with, who believed in just about everything. And it's amazing. You can ask Joey and Lauren and Britt about this. It's amazing the change in her, because the other day she started talking about abortion. And I thought, oh no, where are we going to go with this, Cheryl? And she started talking about how much abortion broke her heart. And that's a change that wasn't in her. She's been saved in that point and through that time. And the thing about dealing with people that didn't grow up in Bible school and know how this works, it's hard to nail down what they think about that. But she makes a profession of faith that's happened since she's been with us. And God has done a work in her that most people would not have put up with her long enough to deal with. But she's changed. She's a totally different person because God brought us to Columbia. The guy on the right, his name is Patron. His actual name is Diambaje. He's a refugee that you may have heard me talk about before. He grew up in refugee camps, moved around to a bunch of different countries in Central Africa, never had any formal schooling, just whatever the refugee camp he was in at the time managed to provide. He and his family ended up moving separately to America, and they ended up all over the place. They didn't know where his sister was for a long time because she didn't speak English, and she ended up homeless in Dallas, and they tracked her down. But he moved here, and just an amazing guy. In 16 months, he learned English, got a GED, got a CNA license, and got two jobs and was going to school for nursing school. And he's just an amazing guy. But one of the things he told me in the parking lot, and one of the things you got to be ready for in ministry is for people to just insult you to your face and not realize that it's a problem. He said, I've been going to church all my life. We had lots of churches in the refugee camps. And I miss those because their music is really good and your music is really boring. But I've never been taught the Bible before. And so I really wish I could go to a service where I like the music better, but I'm going to keep coming because I want to learn the Bible. And it's hard to take that and take the good from it. But because of us, patron comes to church, he hears the sermon, and he goes back and repeats the sermon to his family in Swahili. Speaking of difficult people, the people on the left are the Grant family. They were with us for about a year and a half, and they've moved on to another church at this point. But the Grants came in out of a very conservative Baptist group that was very, very abusive. And it's amazing. Sometimes I feel like we're a halfway house for Christians that come out of bad churches. But they came out of a situation that was very, very abusive. And they were almost done with church. But they heard about us and they decided to come in. And they were just on me. Actually, their first Wednesday night that they showed up, Mike and Brother Doug, y'all were there, weren't you? Y'all were there that night. And they came in and they were super aggressive. And they stayed that way. But we worked with them through healing, through forgiveness, through helping them iron some things out. And eventually we lost them over some doctrinal issues. But we were able to work with them through that process of healing to the point that they're now actively serving in another church. These people on the right, Brian and Kristen and Oliver, they were with us for a while. She's a preacher's daughter. They were living together before they got married. And the church they were in didn't handle it well. And they decided they were done with church as well. But they lived next door to Patrick and Elizabeth. And after Patrick and Elizabeth had been with us for a while, they brought them in. And the thing that got them to stay with us, and it's amazing, again, how people insult you to your face. But the thing that got them to come in was they found out that Oliver, they'd lost a couple of babies, but they found out that Oliver had club feet. And through an ultrasound, they found out club feet and possibly some severe heart problems. And I brought them up at the front, and we gathered around and prayed for them. And Brian told me later, like, we didn't want to keep coming. But we didn't find anywhere else that would come up and gather around us and pray for us the way that you did. And we worked through them through that entire situation. These people on the left, this is Autumn and Alec. And I hate the timing of this one because Autumn and Alec, Autumn went to nursing school with Lauren, and she'd grown up kind of in a church, but her pastor had an affair with a student, blew the church up, and that really ended her church relationship. They still went, but it didn't do anything for anybody. And she showed up to a Bible study, and then she kept showing up, and she kept showing up, and then she brought Alec, and Alec was an atheist when he showed up. And you could tell by the look on his face and his body language that he did not want to be there. And we watched over time as she kept making him come. And as she kept making him be at church, you could see the change in him. Autumn was saved last month before last, and she came and asked to be baptized. And I said, I can't baptize you. Because I know what you and Alec are doing in your relationship. I can't baptize you. And she understood, and I walked through Scripture and what she needed to do. And I met with them Tuesday of last week. And they have committed to abstain until marriage, which they're getting married in January. Autumn is saved, and we're going to baptize her before we leave Columbia. And Alec is not saved, but he's starting to pray. And he's asking for God to show himself to him. And I hate the timing of that. But Autumn and Alec, Autumn is saved because we're there. And Alec has moved from being a pretty angry atheist to a guy who's reaching out to God and asking for God to show himself. The people on the right are Tony and Aaliyah. Baptized them this past Sunday. They're the ones that are moving to Virginia in December. We've been praying for them to be baptized for 3 years, but because of what they were doing in their relationship, couldn't baptize them. And come to find out, Aaliyah told me when she first started coming that she was saved. She'd been saved. She'd walked the aisle as a kid. And Tony said, he said something that indicated he was, but obviously wasn't. And we walked through that with them. And after 3 years of being with us, Tony has been saved. But Leah's been saved. We baptized both of them last week. The girls on the left here are Chloe and Rosetti. Girls that came out of small churches, got involved with our college Bible studies. We were able to disciple them through that. Guy on the right is Tyler Evett. Guy was came out of college, kind of lost, moved up with us. And now is actively serving in youth ministry because we trained him and discipled him and released him to go do that. These people on the left, neither of these people really have ever been to church with us. The people on the left are Shane and Melissa. And they have a blended family, 4 kids now. They were our neighbors that lived next door. They had no relationship with church whatsoever. Both of them come out of kind of rough situations, no relationship with God whatsoever. But we spent time with them to the point that Shane started helping with church stuff. Even though he wouldn't come, he would help. And they've moved from the point that they had no relationship with God to having a positive experience with the church. So when we went over there last time, they made a point to pray over meals with them. And that's not being saved, but it's steps in the right direction. These people that live next, these people on the right, these are the Zettlers. Lauren moved in next to us back in May. She's got 4 kids. She moved in with her parents after the 4th one was born because her husband was arrested and went to prison. And she was on her own. So she went back and lived with her parents. And then when she finally decided to go back out on her own, she moved in next door to us. And the first day that she was living next door to us, all 4 of her kids somehow appeared in our backyard in swimsuits playing in the water stuff. And we've been able to love them and help them and walk alongside them and be neighbors to them because we were in Columbia. Joey and Lauren, they won't give me credit for this, but they're married because of me. When Kelly called and said, I've got this girl that needs to come up as an intern, I set up an interview with her, talked to her on the phone. When I got done on the phone interview, I texted Joey and said, I found your wife. And so he determined not to be interested for about 4 hours. Joey and I didn't live together after about the age of 12 as kids. Our parents got divorced. He went one way, I went the other way. We spent more time together because God placed us both in Columbia than we ever have before. And he got Lauren, and she got him. And he got the better end of the deal. Brittany and I have been through the roughest years of our marriage in the last 6 years. There were a couple years that were really, really hard. But because God called us to Columbia, he has strengthened our marriage. He's grown our marriage, gave us an extra kid, changed us. Britt, this is my job, so obviously I've been doing this, but in Pathway, Britt really wasn't that involved because of work and things. She's gone from being not that involved to the person who has to make 6 dishes at every potluck and who always makes sure that things are going, that who works hard and leads outreaches and does these things in a way that she hasn't before. And whether there is a church there or not, God has changed us. He's changed me. I was an arrogant young 27-year-old who thought he knew everything. And now I'm a 34-year-old who knows 0. And so God has changed us. He's exposed us to these things, and we're grateful to what he's done there. But I also want to read you a list of just a text thread that I've got here. By the way, Alec just sent me a text asking when we can get together this week. Felix, Alex's brother, was with us for a long time. Olivia, who heard the gospel, decided she was going to be involved for a long time. We thought she was saved and then checked out. Chloe, Alex, who was the guy who grew up in church, but Joey and Lawrence met him when they smelled him smoking pot out on their back deck. Got involved with our Bible study, and he's involved in church for the first time ever. Jared, who's the guy who had no friends and came to Bible study and told us he came because he had no friends, he wasn't interested in the Bible at all, but he wanted some friends. Brittany Candler, Teresa, Robert, Kelsey, Mariah, Morgan and Derek, Cora, Ronnie and Josie, Tyler and Abby. Abby was a lost girl, raised Catholic, really struggled with accepting Jesus because her family was Catholic, and if she accepted what we said about the gospel and what the Bible said, that meant her family was going to hell. And after 2.5 years of praying for her, Abby was saved just a couple of months ago. I'll be marrying Tyler and Abby. King Gu, who is a Chinese student that we gave a Mandarin Bible before learning he spoke Cantonese. Safe is an Iraqi guy, continues to be. Sharon and Cody. And a bunch more. People whose lives have been impacted, who've heard the gospel and who've made decisions. These weren't all decisions that I wanted them to make about the gospel. Olivia, Jared, Brittany Candler all heard the gospel, knew it was true, and walked away. And that's not the decision I wanted them to make, but that was the decision they needed to make. They needed to make a decision. And because you sent us to Columbia, because God sent us to Columbia, lives have been changed. My family's lives have been changed. Their lives have changed, and people have heard the gospel. This is what God said to Ezekiel. He said to me, "Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. You are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, but to the house of Israel. And to many people of unfamiliar speech, not to many of people of unfamiliar speech and hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have listened. But the house of Israel will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces." Literally, I've made you hard-headed because they are hard-headed. "Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor do be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you, and hear with your ears, and go get to the captives, to the children of your people, and speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord, whether they hear or whether they refuse to hear. Say to them, thus says the Lord." When we were first going out, I remember Brother Doug and Michael sitting down and Brother Michael sitting down and talking to me and saying, asking questions like, "How long do you think it'll be?" I don't know how to answer that question. "How long do you think it'll be?" And we talked through that process. And Brother Michael said, "What you have to prepare yourself for is that God may not be planting a church. He may just be sending you to share the gospel. And if that's what he's sending you to do, that's okay." And I was angry with him for saying that to me. How dare you? As Britt would say, "Why are you putting that out there?" But I read Ezekiel chapter 3 right before we moved, and this is, God has reminded me of this over and over and over again. "I'm sending you to people with similar language. They're going to understand what you say, and they'll make fun of you for the way you talk, but they're going to understand what you say. And a lot of them are not going to listen to anything that you have to say. But I have made you hard-headed, because they are hard-headed. And whether they listen to you or not, you will say, thus says the Lord." And if God has done anything over the last 6 years, he has made me hard-headed. And if we have done anything over the last 6 years, we have said, thus says the Lord. And lives have been changed. Others' lives haven't been changed. But we have been obedient. I don't know why I had that up there. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And lo, I am with you always, even to the beginning of the world." Into the end of the world age. I meant to have it up there so I could read it. And what we have done is we have gone, we've preached the gospel, We've baptized those who have been saved and discipled those that are willing. And you know what He has done? He has honored His promise to be with us every step of the way. And you have been with us as well. And I'm grateful that at the end of my time, I can emulate the feelings of Paul and quote him as he spoke to the Philippians when I speak to you. He said, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from this first day until now. Being confident in this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ. I thank my God continually for you. But I'm also concerned because one of the things that most held me back from being willing to obey God and leave was you. I said, they have put tens of thousands of dollars into this. They have been an amazing sending church. Will they be willing to invest in the gospel again if I leave without a church being there?" And I was concerned, because you're a fantastic sending church. But the business-minded person would say, that was a failed venture. We're not going to go into that venture again. We're going to focus on what we know works. And here's what I want to say to you. We did not fail in Columbia. We obeyed the Word of God. And it didn't go the way I wanted it to. Where I'm not preaching the sermon I wanted to preach about how many hundreds of people are coming and how many staff members we got. I'm not preaching that sermon. But I can stand with you before you with confidence and say lives were changed and we obeyed Jesus. And He has honored His promise to be with us until the end. And I say this, send again. Send again. He has never told us to plant churches. He has never told us to start churches. But what He has told us to do is to go, to preach the gospel, to baptize those that are saved, disciple those that are willing to be saved, and teach them everything that He's told us. Do it again. Because there are a whole lot of lost people out there. We're going to Bentonville, and we're not going to be at a church plant. It's technically a church plant, but it's not a church plant. And I was kind of concerned when I first heard about it, when I first looked at it. It's like, there's churches in Bentonville. Do I really need to go to Bentonville? Like, is that really the place I need? Don't they need me to go to, you know, Bend, Oregon? Don't they need me to go to somewhere else? And what I found out is there are 500 people a month moving into Benton County. There are people moving into this state from all over the world. The world is being brought here for us to share the gospel with. So I say to you this, send missionaries. Send church planters. Don't allow the whatever you view of the success of what we did to stop you from going again. Because not only is there work to be done here, is there work to be done in Bentonville, is there still work to be done in Columbia, is there work to be done all over the world, but God still has a work to do in you through obedience to Him. Send again. Give generously again. Take some, not summit shuttles, you'll have to call them something else. Take shuttle trips again, because you're good at this. And another missionary, another church planter, is going to be called to go, and you're going to be called to go with him. Send again. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from this first day until now, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on into completion until the day of Christ. God has begun a good work in you. It didn't begin with me. I was a small part of that journey. But God used your time serving with us to grow you and to change you as a church and as individuals. He has begun a good work in you. He will complete that. Let it. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you and I thank you so much that you gave us a chance to be able to be here one more time. I thank you that you called us to serve together in this work. I ask now, Lord, that you prepare victory for what's next. for the next mission work, for the next church plant, for the next whatever it is that you have for them. I ask that you would prepare them, that you'd prepare their hearts, that you would prepare the man that's going to go, and that I ask specifically that you would send some of them to go with him. I ask specifically that you would raise up people within this church to go. As you raised up and called out Paul and Barnabas from the church at Antioch, I ask that you would raise up people from this church to go. I ask that you would complete the good work that you've started in them. And I ask that you would continue our love and friendship for one another going forward. It's in Jesus' name I pray all these things, Lord. Amen.